podcasts.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The Labor Department is out with its latest employment report, and it shows strong job creation.
Despite the fact that we had banking turmoil and continue to have banking turmoil, the economy is slowing down and we have high inflation. I know there were a lot of tech layoffs recently, but there was hiring in other sectors that offset that. So here you go, 253,000 jobs added, crushing the estimate for 180,000. The unemployment rate right now sitting at 3.4%. That is the lowest level we've seen since 1969.
ABC's Alexis Christophorus. A new conflict of interest claim against Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is gaining traction in Washington. ProPublica reports a close friend and billionaire Republican donor paid for the private school tuition of Thomas's grandnephew to the tune of as much as $150,000, and the publication says it was never disclosed. Thomas's allies say he's being unfairly targeted and smeared. So far, no comment from Thomas himself. This is ABC News. A discount retailer is recalling some pain relievers over concerns the medication may have been mishandled in storage.
Family Dollar is voluntarily recalling several types of Advil over-the-counter pain medicine because the company says it was stored at the incorrect temperature. The FDA says it's not aware of any complaints or reported illness linked to the recall, which impacts tablets and gel capsules that were shipped to stores from June of last year to March of this year. Stores have been directed to immediately stop selling them, and you should not take them. You can bring them back to the Family Dollar you brought it from for a full refund. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Weight loss giant Jenny Craig is expected to close its doors permanently today. A letter emailed to employees on Tuesday and obtained by ABC said the company would shut down its operations at the end of the week due to its inability to secure additional financing. The closure comes days after the company announced it would wind down its brick-and-mortar business and transition to an e-commerce operation. Now even that plan is being scrapped. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. A motion requiring both the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate approve hiring investigators was voted down by the Republican majority and the Joint Finance Committee this week. Democrats introduced the measure in response to Michael Gabelman's unsuccessful attempt to find voter fraud in the 2020 election. The two-year investigation, which found no evidence of fraud, cost taxpayers over $2 million. Gabelman was hired by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, then later fired by Voss, after Gabelman campaigned for the speaker's primary challenger. Wisconsin's DNR and the Department of Health Services advising only one meal per week of rainbow smelt from the Bay of Green Bay and associated tributaries up to the first dam. That includes portions of the Peshtigo, Oconto, and Menominee Rivers. This comes after elevated levels of PFAS were found in rainbow smelt that were sampled from Green Bay. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Moms, they really are the best. So this year, give her something really special. Write a special message for your mom, and we'll broadcast it right here on this station throughout the entire weekend of Mother's Day. Call 608-819-8255. 608-819-8255.
Are record high energy and water costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive. While you may not ask for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to be without heat, water, or power. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help. That's www.heat.help.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The Labor Department is out with its latest employment report, and it shows strong job creation.
Despite the fact that we had banking turmoil and continue to
have... My way, do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? I see it your way, on the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. You're saying you can get it wrong and still think that it's all right. Think of what I'm saying. We can work it out and get it straight.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with Sandy Williams. And we have a four-pack of Brewer tickets to give away to caller number two. This coming Monday, against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, that's, you know, rarely do we see the Dodgers.
I love Pee Wee Reese. Is he still playing for them?
No, Maury Wills was the guy. He could barely hit his way out of a paper bag, but he was always on base.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, the Dodgers are going to be here. You get a shot at four tickets, and if you won last month, it's a new month, you're eligible again. So doesn't mean that if you won last week, which was a different month, you're also eligible to do it again. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And if you haven't gone, the seats are absolutely spectacular. They really are. Caller number two will be able to receive those tickets. Sandy, wanted to talk. There's so many things to talk about now. Let's talk about the debt ceiling. And I think sometimes that the American people don't really understand that. We always, every year it's the same thing. Oh, the debt ceiling's coming, and yet they're able to work it out normally. Always able to work it out. They're probably going to work it out this time too, because what is the real penalty?
Well,
and inherent dangers that we are faced with.
The unbelievable aspect of the debt ceiling dispute every time is that we're simply arguing about whether America is going to pay its bills. Because, it's not that we're arguing about whether the government can pass new legislation that'll cost more. The debt ceiling is all about the cash flow that's required to pay the things that Congress has already approved. So it's an argument at the federal level the public congressional level almost every year about whether the government is going to pay the bills that have been created by Congress's action. It would be extraordinary. It would be un-American, for that matter, from the standpoint of work ethic, to not pay your bills. And so the notion that somehow the American public sees fit to allow its representatives to have this argument just belies the notion that we understand what's going on. I think most Americans think that this is all about whether the government should pass new legislation that costs money. No. It's all about whether we'll pay the bills, whether we'll incur the debt necessary to pay the bills we've already authorized. And so, you know, maybe we should have a discussion about how we spend money in the future, but we shouldn't do it by holding hostage the creditors of the United States of America as to whether they'll get paid.
You know, Sandy, to tie in budget cuts, money that has already been, agreed to, it's kind of a difficult thing to do, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're, like I said, you're holding hostage the notion we're not going to pay our bills until you agree you're going to spend less money. Well, those are two different issues, really. Paying your bills is something that just ipso facto you have to do. And if you don't do it, there's dire consequences.
That's the point. That's the part of it that I think the American people, because it's always been done, the dire consequences that just mentioned that may impact each and every one of us in some way,
well,
shape, or form.
If we fail to pay our bills all the way to the point of defaulting on Treasury instruments, the U.S. dollar can kiss it good. We can kiss the U.S. dollar as the world currency goodbye, all right? Because half the reason that it is the world currency is the world finds it very safe to invest in U.S. Treasury bonds because it's the safest instrument that has a yield on it that you can invest in the world. Oh, maybe it isn't, you know? And if maybe it isn't, now we've got a problem. And so the whole notion that we do this and that politicians hold their head up and talk about it is like putting a gun to our own head, okay, and saying, I'm going to pull the trigger on this and I'm going to kill us if we don't change future policies. There are better ways to have the debate about what we do and spend in the future, and the way to do it is not to take a hostage, okay? This is like taking the American creditworthiness hostage, putting our arms around it from behind, holding a gun to its head, and saying, unless you do X, whatever it is, I'm going to pull the trigger.
But Sandy, I guess for the life of me, I just don't understand why we come to this point at this point in time almost every year. Is there any way that we can get to a point where we don't have to deal with this?
Well, sure, we could. There could be something passed that would say that basically the debt ceiling will automatically increase to pay the bills that have been incurred by Congress. I mean, that's not a very difficult concept to put in place, and so something else ought to be considered if Congress is going to be irresponsible in the way it presents itself to the public. Because it's pretty awful to watch if you're a creditor of the United States to watch this process ongoing, because you have to worry about whether someday some fools in Washington won't ultimately get to the point of defaulting. And if they get to the point of defaulting, we should understand that what happened to Greece could happen to us.
And going back to Greece, 5 years or so ago, or a little bit longer?
Yeah.
Just kind of saw the bottom fall out.
Well, yeah, Greece basically defaulted, and the point, they got saved by the European Union. Who's going to save the United States? We don't have anyone to step in and save us. But who's going to be grinning on the sideline is the people who don't want the U.S. dollar to be the world currency. I mean, we talk about China and whether we're worried about China getting primacy in the world. well, why don't we just hand them primacy by defaulting on our Treasury instruments?
So, Sandy, I want to move now to the United States Supreme Court and whether or not the ethics, are there unwritten ethics for the Supreme Court, Sandy, or has it just been something that we just, you know, have grown accustomed to?
The problem is that we have these three prongs of government, right? The Supreme Court, the legislature, and the executive. And so we don't want one of these pillars to be
in control
of the other, right? So the Supreme Court keeps asserting its independence and saying, you aren't going to tell us what to do, because if you can tell us what to do, then we aren't independent anymore. Now, there is an argument as to whether the Constitution provides that the Congress has the capacity to regulate the courts in certain manners, not substantively, but in other ways. So it's possible that there could be the power of Congress to create ethical standards for the Supreme Court. But why in the world would a public body like the Supreme Court not simply adopt its own rules of ethics? You would think that the Supreme Court, which dictates ethics in many ways to the United States at large, why they wouldn't adopt a system of ethics which would be public, and why they would not have transparent requirements that would cause the justices to have to be transparent about their transactions, so that they would build trust in the Supreme Court. The most important currency of the Supreme Court is the United States trust in the neutrality of that court and the capacity of that court to make decisions that are not compromised. And so what do we have with Clarence Thomas? It's unbelievable. I mean, there isn't a judge in this country who wouldn't be embarrassed to reveal to the public the nature of the kind of support that he has realized from private gifts and support. His wife's earnings, stepson—I don't know quite
great
nephew's tuitions. You know, he did report a $5,000 gift he got from someone associated with that great nephew, but he decided not to report the gifts that he got from Mr. Crow and the other gifts from Crow. And you know, maybe this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I have to applaud ProPublica for the extent to which they've been digging this up.
And to say, well, tell this wealthy benefactor, don't put my wife's name on this money he's sending her.
Right. That was Leo, the guy that's the Federalist Society.
So Sandy, I mean, clearly, you got to ask the question, why is he receiving all of these gifts? Because he's Clarence Thomas? Just because he's Clarence Thomas?
Well, I think Justice Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
Probably you have to put the title before the name to understand fully.
The power, right.
Fully why it's happening. I mean, you know, the history, without going into all the facts about Clarence Thomas, the same smell that occurs when you look at Hunter Biden and the amount of money he was getting for being a board director, and people want to make a big deal out of that. This ought to be at least as notorious as that in terms of the level of discussion we have about it. And we ought to be requiring that our justices be transparent about the things that they do that might compromise their thinking, okay? And most judges would be reluctant to even take a free lunch from a lawyer.
So Sandy, the worst part about all of this is people are saying, well, they're doing this because he's Clarence Thomas, Justice Clarence Thomas, and he's more conservative. This is the reason why they're attacking him. Is that the reason?
Oh, I don't think so, because I'm confident that if a liberal Supreme Court justice...
Hold on, Sandy. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season to mastering.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standing room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered rain showers likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Daytime highs approaching 58, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, lows dip down to about 49, cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow, highs around 61, overcast. Upper 60s, Sunday turning cooler, Monday with highs in the mid-60s, chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 50.
At waukradio.com.
This one,
yeah.
But how do you all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy. So Sandy, we were talking about, Clarence Thomas and the Supreme Court. And the fact that they're basically, there's not a whole lot of oversight. And once you get on the Supreme Court, do they just assume that you're this justice and you know, maybe there should be some oversight? I guess that's the debate, right?
Transparency would create public oversight. It would create the capacity for reporters to more easily than ProPublica was able to dig up all this stuff on Clarence Thomas to see what's going on, right? So that, you know, now there's an assertion that Ruth Bader Ginsburg during her life took 185 trips abroad or something. But, you know, they haven't suggested that they were financed by third parties. I think Ruth and her husband, her husband was a very successful lawyer. I think transparency is the key. The only oversight we have now is the power of the Senate to impeach and try under impeachment a Supreme Court justice and remove them. I just was looking it up. Samuel Chase in like 1804 was a Supreme Court justice impeached. He was unsuccessfully impeached when he was a senator, and then he must have been a notorious character. he and Donald Trump should meet someplace. But I think that this really opens up a can of worms, and I don't know what happens to Clarence Thomas out of this, but I certainly hope that what comes out of this is the Supreme Court doing what it should do, which is adopt its rules of ethics and create transparency and public filings that that allow the public to become, because there is no question that the public's confidence in the Supreme Court is eroded. It's eroded now because it's viewed as a much more political entity than it used to be viewed as. So instead of viewing it as a place where things get decided purely on the basis of law and fact, it now is viewed as a place that where things are decided on the basis of politics, law and fact. And we needn't have it be a place where the public believes that it's determined by politics, law, fact, and private interest compromises.
You know, Sandy, it's just getting to a point more and more in this society that the government is not to be trusted. We've had it. We've heard it before. You hear it out of Donald Trump's mouth and others who follow him. The government can't be trusted. And to some degree...
Oh, I think it's true. I mean, I think that the government has lost its moorings with respect to ethics. I think that the fact that almost every person who goes to Congress comes out of Congress much richer than they went into Congress opens the issue in your mind as to how did that happen and why. And yet it seems to be almost universal. I just think the level of ethics in Washington has dropped to the point where everybody is pursuing ways to make money on the side. Sometimes it's books, sometimes it's memoirs, sometimes it's speeches to various groups, all different ways to make money on the side. It's appointments to boards of directors. But it's funny, but people in power in Washington tend to get quite a bit of net worth increase during their period of power, and we ought to worry about that.
So, Sandy, if you say... you think it's true, and others who say that, and clearly at the key to all of that is what Tom from L.A. always says, we the people are the government, and we the people don't trust our government. How are the people to ever get back to a point of trust in the government? It's going to continue to erode. Barring some miraculous...
Well, transparency, that sunshine...
But they're not going to vote in transparency.
Well, yes, Congress is not doing much to block the benefit of private interest money in government, right? So why are we going to get rid of Citizens United by action of Congress? No. Are we going to have a constitutional amendment? No. But... the Supreme Court is a very vital institution. The rule of law in the United States is imposed better in the United States than it is in almost any country. And we should understand that in probably a majority of countries in the world, the rule of law does not prevail. And where it doesn't prevail, government fails, okay, completely. We have private interests, you have oligarchs, what we would criticize about Russia. Well, yeah, Russia's a place where it's influence, not law, that has a great deal of power. We don't want that to happen in the United States, and the Supreme Court is the bastion against that, okay? And if the Supreme Court loses that, if it gets compromised, Netanyahu is trying to compromise the power of the Israeli
yes.
Supreme Court. You can see it everywhere. If someone wants to be an autocrat, what they can't tolerate is a Supreme Court that's independent, okay, and uncompromised. And what we need in the United States is a independent, uncompromised Supreme Court, and we better wake up to that, and they better wake up to that. Justice Roberts better realize quickly that what they need to set up is public, transparent rules of ethics.
I've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We'll be right back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
ABC News, I'm Alex Stone. The World Health Organization today saying COVID is no longer a global health emergency, but stopping short of declaring the pandemic over. Worldwide, the crisis has killed at least 7 million people. No comment so far from Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas on a new conflict of interest claim involving a wealthy Republican and Thomas's grandnephew.
ProPublica reporting that billionaire GOP megadonor Harlan Crowe, whom Thomas has called a dear friend, paid at least some of the young man's tuition at two different private schools. Thomas never disclosed the payments. Thomas and Crowe's financial ties run deep. ProPublica also reported that Crowe took Thomas and his wife on lavish vacations, including travel on a private jet and a super yacht. Thomas didn't disclose those either.
ABC's Terry Moran. Tomorrow is a Kentucky
Your
Derby,
home
but the
for local
of
news, weather,
of
and sports
Downs
across the airwaves and always
races.
Streaming
this
on the Civic
ABC
Media
news.
App.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Efforts to overhaul Wisconsin's shared revenue system appear to be headed for a veto. Governor Evers issued a video statement yesterday to say the bill doesn't send enough money to local communities and that it comes with too many strings attached.
That's why I can't support the Republican plan as is, and frankly, I'll veto it in its entirety.
Evers objects to conditions the bill puts on places like Milwaukee to get all the state money they can. Former Governor Scott Walker tells the Journal Sentinel Donald Trump should be at the first Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee in August. New York Times reports Trump is likely to skip at least one of the first two debates. In sports, the Bucks are in the market for a new head coach. They fired Mike Budenholzer yesterday. The Brewers are at San Francisco tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's, you know, still Friday. Sandy Williams is still here. Sandy, man, Iowa governor will sign bill rolling back labor protections for children. What are we doing?
You know, it's appalling to me. You know, the thing that happened during the New Deal with the Fair Labor Standards Act and child labor, you know, this is back to Oliver Twist and Charles Dickens. And, you know, the idea that 14-year-olds, that even 14-year-olds would hold 8-hour-a-day jobs What about school attendance requirements? You know, what about the truant officer? But does the truant officer go to the place of employment and say, no, you got to go to school? I mean, we're going backwards. And yes, we have labor shortages, but we've got millions of people on the if we've got labor shortages, we've got millions of people on the border who are willing to come and do that work. And plus the fact we have stagnant population growth in America, absent immigration. We apparently have a shortage of workers. We have a very small population. The cohort of people who are age 18 today is a small cohort compared to the prior generations. You know, what are we doing with immigration? I mean, why are we blocking immigration and instead of allowing immigrants to come in, taking children and threatening their scholastic development by allowing them to work at age 14 and to be exploited? To work where? I mean, at Hormel, at the Hormel meatpacking plant?
Yes. Yeah. Sandy, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds on Thursday said she will sign a bill to roll back labor protections for children, allowing them to work longer hours and take jobs that have been prohibited because of physical dangers. Sandy, I don't care if you're a Republican or who you are. And you don't like what's going on at the border. How do you somehow reconcile that this is right? Well, and they're doing this in different states across the nation.
How do we think that employing 14-year-olds full-time in industrial capacity jobs is going to be good for future generations? You know, we're not developing, you know, I mean, it's really, like I've said, the people today can't seem to think beyond tomorrow. You know, and how can a governor sign that bill be viewed as thinking about the future? They aren't thinking about the future of that 14-year-old.
You know, the measure would permit children as young as 14 years old to work in roofing, construction, and demolition, provided they are part of educational apprenticeship programs and a parent has granted permission for the work. They would also be allowed to do light assembly work and assist customers and businesses that sell fireworks as long as no machines are present. Sandy, I don't care about any of those things. You stated 14 years old should be in school, period.
Yeah.
If the business can't find support for its business, you don't punish children, right?
Well, and, you know, the guys here is that they're into some kind of a training program, but kids to be trained for that kind of work can wait till they're done with their with their basic schooling and move on to it at a stage in their life where they're now ready to move into the job market. You know, what they're basically training here are people to get ready to drop out of school, I guess.
Well, yes. And as you stated, what does that do for their future?
Yeah.
So we take advantage of children at this age because that's what's happening, right? A child that young is not the front lobe of the brain doesn't develop until your 20s. If you're putting a child 14 years old in that decision-making situation, well, I need some money right now, I'll do this. Sandy, our nation is in free fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Sandy, these things are being proposed, and governors who are saying yes to this are Republicans, and you just wonder. The measure championed by conservative lobbying groups, the State Restaurant Association and the State Industry Group for Home Builders and others, man, you can't find. Like you said, people at the border.
Well, the nifty thing about 14-year-olds on internship programs is they don't get much pay. Yeah, so I suspect that there's a dual interest here. I mean, they've got a market for employees, and they can pay them probably very minimum wage because they're in a training program, right? I mean, that's been the ruse across the country. This whole internship. Build up your resume. There's all kinds of jobs out there in the American economy, particularly in the service economy, that are taking advantage of young people now who need to build a resume of experience by being interns and being in training. And I would fear that this has the smell of that as well. So You know, I just think we give too much lip service in America to being interested in our children.
Yeah.
And we don't really show it. And this is another case of that.
A law passed in Arkansas in March eliminated work permits and age verification requirements for workers younger than 16. What? So you don't even want to verify that the child.
Wow.
It's Sandy, we have gone, we've lost our minds.
Well, this is
the proposals have also been introduced in Minnesota, Ohio, and Georgia. It's across the board. Wisconsin legislators on Monday introduced a bill to allow children as young as 14 to serve
alcohol.
Sandy, explain that one to me.
Yeah, that one's isn't that nice? You know, so we want our 14-year-old boys and girls to be in beer halls and bars, places where we don't necessarily want those people to be, and they can be serving alcohol, but you dasn't touch it. You dasn't drink it, but you can serve it.
Do you know, Sandy, the people before us who set these laws into motion,
yeah,
what was different about them than those of us today who these people thought all of these things through and they've worked, right? They've been good for the American people, for children, for the development of children who eventually wind up becoming adults. So what were they seeing differently than what the people of today are seeing?
It happens all the time. The private interest comes forward and says, you know what? Things were different then. We're different now. The people are different now. We're more honest. That's like the banking industry in the 1990s. We don't need the Glass-Steagall Act anymore because it's different today. You know, we're all different. You know, how are we different? The rules of human nature still apply, greed, whatever. But it always seems to work. The argument always seems to work because people always want to believe that the vices of the past don't exist today, that we are going to defy the rules of human nature. We no longer have the vices that they had, and we'll behave the way we ought to behave. And then when you lift that legislation in about 5 years, everyone realizes, oh, I see why we didn't allow children to work without work permits, you know, as we see 9-year-olds being exploited.
You know, Sandy, the other part of it is none of these people want their children who are making these laws.
Yeah.
They don't want their children doing that. And I guarantee you their children won't be doing that. But others, yes. And you, as you stated, Sandy, wouldn't the simplest answer to this be all those people waiting?
Well, the people
you've got them.
The people waiting at the border and
are willing to work.
And the families that require that their 14-year-old go to work because they have no money, we ought to be addressing that family's needs in a way different than simply opening the door to their child to essentially go to work in such a way that their future will be capped by the nature of their work at age 14.
So what are your thoughts? Because I've heard people say, well, people work on farms. Kids worked on farms, and they were young, and they were this, and they were that. And I said, well, yeah, but it was family.
Right.
Right. Isn't there a difference?
There's definitely a difference. Yes. And people work on farms today when they're very young. And people work at home, you know.
Yes.
Scrub the floor.
Yeah, but
mow the lawn.
Not working outside of their own families.
Right, exactly. It's just different to take yourself into a work environment with people of all ages, with people who are adults, and to work next to adults who are not your parents, to be in an environment that is dangerous for you. It just, you know, the child labor laws that were enacted in the 30s, when you read about it in the 50s, you thought, my God, they needed to enact laws to keep kids from having to work in textile factories and getting, you know, hundreds of kids burned and die in a textile factory fire. And, you know, it's a wonder that we don't we forget the rules of history and the lessons of history, and we go ahead and we do this kind of stuff. But this seems so elementary. It's unbelievable.
You know, Sandy, I got this. I had the pleasure of speaking, I think it might have been a week or two ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, at a memorial celebration for unionized workers who have died in all these different places, who was it? The entity that was created to protect workers, OSHA.
OSHA.
And OSHA was there, and mm-hmm. they spoke, and then I got a chance to speak, and they were talking about what it used to be like before these laws, right,
yeah.
were enacted. And I saw the difference where I worked. But Sandy, children, 14 years old as a child.
Well, first of all, children aren't as capable of controlling themselves as adults, right? Because
right.
that frontal lobe, children are more likely to make mistakes. Children are more likely to stick their hand in the press machine.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the fact that there might be rules of safety at work.
Construction.
Doesn't mean that a child of 14 is as safe as an adult of 25 subject to the same rules, because everyone knows that children make mistakes. It's part of growing up, right? It's part of and what you hate about the notion of growing up is that children would be put into a place where they would be really endangered by the mistakes that they will inevitably make.
Yes, Sandy, it really does bother me that this is coming and it's happening. And it's not even good that they have immigrants, undocumented immigrants, working in these tough places. It's not right that it's a 14-year-old undocumented person. But now you're even saying, okay, what's good for the gander is good for the goose.
Yeah.
We don't even care if it's an American citizen. We need people to work. Well, I was reading something the other day where it said, The major business corporations are starting to ease up on, well, you had a marijuana conviction many years ago where automatically it locked you out of being able to do any, mm-hmm. you know, getting hired to do anything. Now they're starting to realize, hey, the guy smoked some weed. He had some weed.
Well, I'm all for businesses making more sensible the restrictions and requirements they put on people they're going to hire, so that they don't have unreasonable education. You don't have to have a college education
right.
to do
this is what's changing.
Any and all things, and that's good. But I think as well, we ought not to simply cater to the needs of the employers by saying, you know what, Katie, bar the door. You want kids? You think kids can work for you? Sure, you can have kids. You have a textile factory. You need a bunch of kids to work there? Sure, so long as they're in an educational program.
All right, listen, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Real Chili's been serving up mouth-watering goodness to the people of Milwaukee since 1931. Their famous, secret, award-winning chili recipe is the same as it was back then, and a local treasure.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now. And AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't going to find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't going to find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, out come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered rain showers likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Daytime highs approaching 58, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, lows dip down to about 49, cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow, highs around 61, overcast. Upper 60s, Sunday turning cooler, Monday with highs in the mid-60s, chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 50.
It's not warm when she's away.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is still here. Let's go to Mike from West Bend. Hey, good morning, Mike. How are you? Thank you very much for the call. Your thoughts, man.
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
You have a good show, as always.
Well, thank you.
My comment is this, and of course I'm, you know, in my 70s, but my friends' sons now and the grandsons are all union tradesmen and are getting out of training, and they're going out west, mostly Denver, because the commercial projects are federal, and federal has a rule of a drug test every 30 days. And I think it's a good test. I don't think marijuana or any drug mixes with on-the-job sites. And it irritates the people out there because they're forced to hire union labor, which, in my opinion, is the only labor that should be out there anyways. But if you want the job done, right? But I was almost killed by a guy high on marijuana. So, no, they don't mix, and I don't think they should change any rules.
Well, does alcohol mix?
Now, there's another issue. We had guys on the job.
We know people drink alcohol, right? On breaks.
Right. But I'll tell you what, Earl. Our union had a guy. I mean, they ended up firing him. I mean, we gave him a 30-day dryout. They sent him to these assessments. And if you don't make it, you don't make it. But it's too dangerous of a job.
I'm a guy who worked in industry, and did I smoke a little pot? Yes. Were there guys drinking on the job? Yes. That's the way it was. That's the way it is now. But you can't go ahead.
Earl, that might be true in certain factory jobs and this and that, but when you got the iron workers out there and we're laying pipe, and we're building a big building, there's nobody drinking on the job where I work.
Well, no. Well, here's the difference. Iron workers are a little bit different. But we're talking but you can't just isolate it solely to iron workers. It's unions across the board.
Interestingly, you've got a situation in Colorado where the use of marijuana is legal. It's as legal as alcohol. And so, I mean, clearly the use of alcohol on the site of any job is, I'm sure, against the rules, regardless of...
Except for when Miller and Pabst, you could drink.
Yeah, except if you worked at a brewery. But clearly, no one would disagree with you, I'm sure, that on-the-job use of any of those things...
Should be prohibited.
But in Colorado, I'm confident it's difficult to to sustain a rule that would, for instance, allow the testing of hair follicles to see if someone has ever used marijuana, because you ought to be testing their liver to see if they've ever used alcohol in the same circumstance, I guess. I mean, do you see the difference there?
Before I go?
Huh?
Can I add one more thing before
sure.
I go?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I had friends come down from out of state and from up north, and they never knew that the Brewer Stadium was changed to American Family name.
Okay.
And they were all union guys that was union built, and now it's named by a company that hates all union.
Who hates all unions?
American Family.
Oh, so I don't. That's...
What said so they?
No, but I'm just saying it was ironic. That's all. It was just kind of funny.
Hey.
Well, anyway, good show.
Hey, Mike, I enjoy listening to
you guys all the time.
Hey, man, yeah. Mike, thank you. Thank you for listening, man. Let other people in West Bend know we're here. Really appreciate it. You know, Sandy, man, I love what we do, and the fact that we have such a diverse listening audience, right? I mean, people from across the state.
Absolutely. I thought our conversation today with, Wisconsin.
Yeah, Eaton, right.
Jim, I think it was. I think it's important to hear and talk to people who think differently, right, who see things differently. And one of the biggest problems Milwaukee has is this urban-rural viewpoints. And the more we can talk to one another, I think the more we can reach agreement, maybe the less likely we'd have this loggerheads with the state legislature and the Milwaukee County City situation.
Because, again, people are people. And the conditions that exist in Milwaukee, similar to the conditions that exist in Eden. They're the same and they're different, right?
So, and I think it's the differences that people have to come to understand so that they can better project the situation, right? So, it's from the very beginning. There have been problems between the urban dwellers and rural dwellers. But the more we can bring those people closer together, the more likely it is we can solve problems.
Well, because in the end, Sandy, they're both just trying to make a life, just trying to enjoy the time that we're here and do the best they can for their families. That's the same across the board,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. So my view is that I think very few people operate out of malice. Everyone thinks they're doing the right thing. And we just have to talk to one another and figure out what the best right thing is.
Yeah, it really is. And, man, cherish and relish, your and my relationship and the fact that we're able to kind of come on these airways and listen to people.
Mm-hmm.
And with your vast knowledge and respond to them in a way that they probably haven't heard before. And there's a lot of value in that. And so, we talk about a myriad of things. We certainly talk a lot nationally about what's happening nationally. But as we saw today, sometimes we may forget the local part of it. And I think that's, the part of it that we need to focus on a little more.
Yeah, well, the show for me is a great opportunity to learn and listen, and it's great to be able to talk with you. You and I come from different backgrounds, and we're able to be best of friends.
So what did the county executive say? You need to look out for me.
So, Tim, I keep my eye on you. That's my assignment for the week. For the weekend, I guess.
So we got to go. We'll be back on Monday. Sandy's always a blast. Thank you, Calvin. Who won the tickets?
Our winner today was Elpidio Gertler.
I'm not going to try to repeat that, but congratulations to that guy. Everybody enjoy the weekend. It's going to be great.
This house just ain't no home anytime she goes away.
We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
ABC News.